His friends, looking back to the spring and the beginning of the summer, do you remember how different the energy was? Everything growing, expanding. All of the excitement of the growing season, long days of sunshine. Now summer is coming toward its end. The energy is different. It's subsiding into calm. There's a kind of reckoning, looking back. And see how the trees are readying themselves to relinquish their leaves. In just a few months' time, this whole landscape will look very different. All barren, only the trunks of the trees jutting out, the wildflowers all gone. The grass browned and enclosed in frost. We're just now at that turning point, the turning of the seasons. But look how generously the trees give up their leaves. This annual abandonment of all superfluity. This time of turning back toward the within. All of nature is cyclical. There's an in-breath and an out-breath, a spring and an autumn, birth and death. The dissolution of the excess can be graceful or ungraceful, depending upon whether we give ourselves over to the process and even encourage it, facilitate it, or conversely, hopelessly fight it. Imagine branches of trees desperately grasping onto their leaves as the fall wind blows through them. Tragedy is our attachment to what is already gone, this grasping at the past, grasping at habits, associations, opinions, fears. Because according to some confused logic, Something is better than nothing. Nothing is a terror. The void, emptiness. So clutch at anything, clutch at dust, clutch at cobwebs, but not the void. While the trees sink down into their tap roots, let the winter wind whistle through their branches, spring will come, and those branches must be bare to bear a new dispensation of greenery. So as we exhale now, we might give ourselves over to the spirit of the season, which is just now to begin. The season of disburdenment, relinquishment, dispossession, release, and purification, simplification and purification. And the satisfaction, the deep satisfaction of letting go of a burden we no longer need to carry. Weight without meaning. Dead weight. Open up the pores. So as we exhale, conscious of this tide in the breath, this tide of dispossession, let that tide sweep out the excess, the clutter, the merely customary, habitual, psychosomatic material. Open up space, breathe freely, and as the breath goes out, you might be conscious of a kind of dark mist exuded on the breath, a smoky, dust that goes out, when you open up every cell, turn the body inside out, and sweep out with the breath the whole dross that has been clogging your vessels. and let the breath spiral out wider and wider in this great dispersal. All that has been accrued randomly by mere conditioning, the piling up of impressions, other people's projections, stories, as they have unconsciously infiltrated you and somehow wrapped themselves around mind, heart, and body in a constricting mesh. Unwind it. Extricate essence from accident. Accident is accident. It may go as easily as come if you let it go. And the false idols of unconscious assumptions time for their dissolution. Time to no longer carry this burden and rather be light, free, expansive. Like an uncared for house full of clutter, full of dust and cobwebs. Throw open the doors, throw open the windows, beat the carpets. Take out the refuse and let that fresh air swooping down from the sky blow through all of the rooms, blow out the dust. Simplify, purify. And now with each exhalation, they smoky, murky cloud dissipates. Each exhalation is purer, cleaner than the last. to consecrate this exorcism. We say La Ilaha. That is the dispelling of the idols of unconsciousness, the hidden taskmasters that have grimly distorted the thought in our mind, the emotion in our heart, and bent it toward creeds, superstitions. La ilaha, the banishment of the idols of confusion and hopelessness. La ilaha. As we rotate, as we turn left to right and spiral out with the breath, unwinding, unraveling the tangled knots, opening up space, dissipating the residues that now evaporate into the sky. And now, no longer running from the void, diving into it, turning toward the center of the storm, the center of the maelstrom, the emptiness, stillness, the middle of it all. In the interior of the idol is an empty space, suffused with the infinite light. Time has come to begin again. To start from scratch. Go back to the beginning. mechanism that we are, this instrument. Take it apart. Examine its pieces. Behold what lives in it, what moves in it. Wipe away the dust. Oil the gears. Put it back together. And dedicate it to the one whose instrument it is. Holy Ghost in the machine. And lo and behold, we might just discover the machine itself is holy. Or is it a machine that is made, runs mechanically for a time, and then breaks apart and rusts away? It's organic. How could this yield, the yield of this life, the yield of the whole arc of our discovery and becoming, how could it terminate in oblivion? Physics is revealing far more ingenious universe than such a universe would be, a universe of dead ends. No soul, mind, body, precipitate and sublimate through incarnation and resurrection. And there is no mere acting out of a prescripted fate. Nor is there an absolute terminus. There is unfoldment, there is emergence, there is the quickening of the one through the manifestation of the many, and the elevation of the many in the revelation of the one in the many. For this, soul is needed, mind is needed, body is needed. But none of these are a thing, none autonomous, none an end in itself. What is then is process. What is then is a transformation. Shah Nizamuddin Aurangabad, he said, imagine yourself as a fish swimming in an endless ocean of light, an ocean without floor or shore, so that whatever you encounter is not so much a thing as a wave, a current in the one life, a ripple. Where does one wave begin and another end? Says kul arum min amma rabbi, the soul is of the divine act, the action of the divine, the surging of the infinite sea. In this is the proliferation of souls, not things, not separable entities, but currents. Surging, flowing, souls, minds, bodies, stars, planets. Atoms, a great cascade, a great flux, swirling. Now be a fish, diving. Gliding, seeing all that is to see, and breathing the water, breathing the eternal life. But then Shah Nizamuddin says, recognize that the fish is the sea. The ocean swims in itself. Do you claim to know? Do I claim to know? Or to see? Or to witness? Who is this self that claims this property of knowledge? What is its beginning? What is its end? How is the seeing? How is the knowing its own? If we did not make ourselves, if we did not bring ourselves here, if we are made of this manifestation, if we are it, who is the knower? Who is the seer? The ocean swimming in the fish. One focalizes itself, telescoping in through myriad, maybe endless, angles of vision. We say, here am I. Better yet, here is vision from one angle. The eye is one eye. Ahia, asharahia. I am that I am. But this angle of vision that we call ourself, which shifts, which intersects with multiple planes, which itself is transformed in perspective, in depth and breadth, and vividness of color. This glance is, as each focalization of the one is, a summing up of the universe. Both individual and universal. Not identical to any other focalization of the divine presence, unique. And yet that uniqueness bears within it the code of the totality. So when we walk the path up the mountain, there is that in us which recognizes when we pass a birch tree, you are kin. We've known each other for a long time. You're inside me. And a slab of quartz. We know each other. My cells are configured as they are in part in relation to your existence. But simultaneously in relation to everything else that exists. Thus I am configured. this that I call I. So, it's all here, woven into the body, woven into the mind. We are animals. We have an animal soul, also a vegetal soul, also a mineral soul. This animal soul is warm-blooded. Mobile, on the move, prone to fight or flight, warily prepared to defend itself by attacking or fleeing. Also sociable. Inclined to find a pack, our animality, we feel it right in the surge of the blood in our veins. Can you feel your heartbeat? So long as you are an incarnate animal, that will be the constant soundtrack. It's a continuous beat in the left breast. Can you feel it? You could put your hand on your chest if it's hard to observe at first. Just feel this visceral, warm beat in the chest and the spreading of the warmth of the heart, the lifeblood spreading from the heart down the arms into the hands, churning all through the trunk, rising like a fountain through the neck, pouring down through the legs, this bloodstream churning. Relax into it, yield to it. Systole and diastole, convergence of fluid from the tissues in the periphery toward the core, and conversely, the dispersal of the lifeblood all through the system, to the farthest reaches of the periphery. And that constant contraction and expansion, which is so evident in the organ of the heart and which pervades the whole system, in fact, can even be followed outside the boundary of the skin. This flashing out of heat and magnetism from the inner recesses of the body, most notable as you exhale, and then as you inhale, this reconstitution. Because the physical blood is homologous to the invisible substance that circulates in the life field, in the manner of blood, contracting and expanding. So simply to tune into the physical circulation is to be gestured toward a subtler circulation in which the skin is no boundary. And in fact, we're conscious of how the blood and lymph is in our veins, and tissues is a tributary to the great hydrological cycle in which water pours down from the sky and heaves through riverbeds and trickles in caverns underground. In fact, not only the water in our bodies, but all of the molecules of our body are swept along in planetary patterns. That make our physical existence indistinguishable from the vaster choreography of which we are a small part. So we are warm-blooded mammals, possessed of a beating heart. But we are also vegetal souls. How could we not be intimately related to the plants when all the nourishment that we digest reaches us from the plant world? Sometimes as mediated by animals, but ultimately it's all the yield of photosynthesis. No plant, no animal. And there is in us also a vegetal nature. Now, whereas the animal soul is guided by its senses. Vegetal senses are different and revolve entirely around light. The direction of light, the volume of light. Every gesture of the plant is a response to the position of the sun. To descend into the plant soul in us is to become devotees of light, where is the light in this moment? From which direction does it reach me? And to open oneself to it as leaves unfurl, to drink it in, and metabolize it, in the darkness to wait and drink of a subtler light, and when the grand illumination comes, stretch out every receptacle. Sink roots deep into the ground. Never mind running from here to there. Here is enough. Stand here, through summer and winter, through day and night, sink a root deep down to take in the moisture, the water of life from the ground, and drink it up, dredge it up through deep roots, through the soles of the feet, through the tailbone. Anchor yourself in the planet, in the planetary crust. Feel the touch of the soles of the feet on the earth. And then the spine is like a stem, a trunk. Arms are branches, and from above, the plant imbibes the descending radiance of the sun as it pours down. Below, grounded in the opaque, dense, chthonic earth, above, open to the vast, luminous expanse of sunlit sky. And between the poles, between what is below and what is above, this straight line, the stem, the trunk, in which xylem moves up and down. The sap moves in the xylem. digest light and make sugar from it. That's the work of the plant. But we're not only animal and vegetal, but also mineral. Plants spring up from the topsoil and die back down into it, and the soil persists. And that soil is the foundation of every civilization that's ever been. And every face that has ever flowered has descended back into the soil. Ghalib's words are immortal. Sab kaha kuch lala ogulme namaya hogai. Khaak mein kya surate honge ke penha hogai. Not all, only some have been revealed in the tulip and the rose. How many beautiful faces must remain sealed in the dust? That humble carbon in the soil, how many beautiful faces yet to manifest are there already, waiting, waiting, void of sensation, void of digestion, being. Just enduring, living, being, the mineral soul. Primal, simple homeostasis. Just cohering, subsisting. Such a humble act. So noble. So simple, the cornerstone of all organicity. Fertile soil, firm bedrock, the staple. Patient earth. Time for a break, feeling the soles of our feet as we walk, feeling the earth under our soles. Let's walk out, walk outside if you wish, and witness animal, plant, mineral on the horizon and in yourself.